Okay, so imagine this. You're a musician. You're in New York City.
Yeah.
You finally found, like,
Yeah.
the perfect loft space.
Oh, nice.
But then construction starts up in the building.
Oh, no.
And we're not talking just like some hammering here and there.
Right?
We're talking like dust storms from sandblasting leaks.
Oh,
The
wow.
whole shebang. It basically makes living there, let alone working there, impossible.
Yeah.
You just have to like suck it up and move.
Not necessarily.
Oh, really?
This actually brings us to a really fascinating case.
Okay.
Minjack Covey Randolph.
Minjack.
And this case actually changed how New York law views constructive eviction, particularly for renters dealing with less than ideal conditions in urban environments.
Constructive eviction.
Yeah.
That sounds intense.
Yeah, it's
I'm
a
definitely curious to hear more about what exactly went down in this case.
Absolutely. So in Minjack, we have two tenants, Randolph and Kikuchi,
Okay.
who are renting this loft in Manhattan from, you guessed it, Minjack Co. And as you described, things start going south when Minjack begins construction on the building.
And I'm guessing this wasn't just like a little bit of noise during the day.
No, not even close.
Oh, wow.
We're talking pervasive dust from the sandblasting,
Yeah.
water damage from leaks.
Yikes.
It was so bad that it actually damaged their belongings and made the portion of the loft that Kikuchi used as a music studio completely unusable.
Oh, no.
Imagine trying to record an album in that environment.
That's not just an inconvenience, that's impacting his livelihood.
Right.
So, what did they do?
Well,
Did they try to reason with the landlord?
they did. Randolph and Kikuchi repeatedly reached out to Minjack Co. to complain,
Okay.
but nothing changed.
So they had to do something.
So they decided to withhold about a third of their rent in protest.
Oh, that's bold.
As you might expect, this did not go over well with Minjack Co.,
Yeah, I can imagine.
who then took them to court over the unpaid rent.
So now we have a full-blown legal battle.
Yes, we do.
Where do we go from here?
Well, the case goes to trial,
Okay.
and the trial court actually sides with Randolph and Kikuchi.
Really?
They awarded them what's called rent abatement,
Okay.
meaning they didn't have to pay the portion of the rent they had withheld.
Okay, so the court recognized that the living situation was unacceptable.
Right.
Did the case end there?
Not quite. It actually gets even more interesting.
Right.
Not only did the court grant rent abatement, but they also awarded the tenants punitive damages.
Punitive damages.
Yeah.
Wow. That doesn't usually happen in your average landlord-tenant dispute.
Right.
What was it about this case that led to such a strong ruling?
Well, the court really took issue with Minjack Co.'s conduct,
Yeah.
finding it went beyond simple negligence.
So it wasn't just about a few repairs that needed to be done. There was something more egregious going on.
Exactly. Minjack Co. appealed,
Okay.
and the appellate term actually reversed the trial court's decision,
What?
citing the traditional understanding of constructive eviction. Basically, they argued that because Randolph and Kikuchi were still living in part of the loft, they hadn't technically been evicted,
Interesting.
even though the music studio was unusable.
So the argument was that they had to completely abandon the entire apartment to claim constructive eviction.
Right.
That seems a bit harsh given the circumstances.
You're right, and that's why this case is so important.
Okay.
Randolph and Kikuchi appealed this decision to the appellate division,
Okay.
and this is where things took a major turn.
So what happened at the appellate division? Did they stick with that stricter interpretation of constructive eviction?
No, they didn't. The appellate division actually overturned the appellate term's ruling
Wow.
and reinstated most of the original decision, including the rent abatement and the punitive damages.
Wow, so they sided with the tenants. Why was that so significant?
Well, this decision was a major turning point
Okay.
because the appellate division directly addressed this question of whether tenants could claim constructive eviction, even if they were only forced out of part of their apartment.
And they said yes.
Yes. They recognized that the old rule requiring complete abandonment
Right.
didn't make sense in modern urban settings,
Yeah.
especially in a city like New York where people use their apartments for so many different purposes.
Right. Like you were saying with the music studio, it makes sense that losing access to that would be a substantial loss, even if the tenants were still able to physically live in the rest of the loft.
Exactly. The appellate division highlighted the concept of substantial deprivation.
Okay.
It wasn't just about whether the tenants had physically left. It was about whether the landlord's actions had significantly impacted their ability to use and enjoy their rented space.
Okay.
Losing a workspace, especially one tied to your livelihood, absolutely qualifies.
That makes sense. What about the punitive damages, though? What made Minjack Co.'s actions so egregious that the court decided to go that extra step.
Well, the court found that Min Jet Co. acted with what they called high moral culpability. Their actions went beyond simple negligence. They knew about the conditions. The tenants had repeatedly complained.
Right.
And yet they did nothing to fix the problem.
It's like they were intentionally ignoring the issue. That is shocking. So it was more than just a mistake. It was a deliberate disregard for the well-being of their tenants.
Right. And the court wanted to make it clear that landlords can't just ignore serious issues like this and get away with it.
Right.
The punitive damages were intended to punish Min Jet Co.
Okay.
And deter other landlords from behaving similarly.
So this case wasn't just about Randolph and Kikuchi. It set a precedent for holding landlords accountable for providing habitable living conditions.
Exactly. And there's another aspect of this case that strengthens that message of accountability.
Okay. What's that?
The court awarded attorney's fees to the tenants under Real Property Law Section 234.
Attorney's fees. So Min Jet Co. had to pay for the tenants' lawyers on top of everything else.
That's right. This provision in New York law allows tenants to recover their legal fees in cases where a landlord violates the terms of the lease regarding maintaining a habitable space.
Oh, I see. So it's another way to ensure that tenants can actually afford to pursue legal action against landlords who aren't holding up their end of the bargain.
Yes. And it adds an extra layer of risk for landlords who might be tempted to cut corners or ignore their responsibilities. This combination of punitive damages and attorney's fees sends a powerful message.
This is really eye-opening.
Yeah.
What would you say are the biggest takeaways from Min Jet Co. v. Randolph for renters today?
First and foremost, I think this case empowers tenants to stand up for their right to decent living conditions.
Okay.
You don't have to just accept a bad situation, even if moving out isn't an option. Min Jet shows that you can fight back, even if the problem only affects part of your apartment.
So knowledge is power. Knowing about this case and your rights as a tenant can make a real difference.
Absolutely. Another takeaway is the importance of documentation.
Okay.
If you're dealing with issues with your landlord, keep detailed records of everything. Photos, emails, conversations, any evidence that can support your case.
It sounds like good advice for any renter, whether they're facing a major problem like in Min Jet or just a minor maintenance issue.
Definitely. And finally, I think this case is a reminder that landlords have responsibilities too.
Yes.
They can't just collect rent and ignore their obligations to provide safe and habitable housing. Min Jet set a precedent that there can be serious consequences for neglecting those responsibilities.
This whole discussion has been incredibly illuminating. It's amazing how one case can have such a lasting impact on the law and on people's lives.
It really is. And even though Min Jet was a New York case, its influence extends far beyond. Many other states have adopted similar approaches to constructive eviction and tenant rights.
Interesting.
Recognizing that the traditional rules didn't always reflect the realities of modern urban living.
So while the specifics might vary from place to place, the core principles of tenant protection that Min Jet established are relevant for renters all over the country.
Absolutely. It's always a good idea to research your local laws and understand your rights as a tenant.
Good advice.
And remember, there are resources available if you need help navigating these kinds of issues, like tenant advocacy groups or legal aid organizations.
This is a powerful reminder that even in the face of seemingly overwhelming odds, individual cases can spark real change and bring about greater fairness and protection for everyone. So for all of our listeners out there dealing with like the ups and downs of renting,
yeah,
what's like the one key takeaway you want them to remember from this deep dive into Min Jet v. Randolph?
I think the most crucial takeaway is this, you know, Min Jet.
Yeah.
Min Jet shifted the power dynamic in favor of tenants, especially in situations where moving out entirely just isn't feasible. You know, it highlights that you don't have to endure unbearable living conditions just because you can't afford to up and leave.
It's a reminder that even if you're only experiencing problems in a portion of your space, you still have legal recourse. Mm-hmm. It's not an all or nothing situation.
Precisely. And this applies beyond New York, too. Many other states have adopted similar approaches.
Oh, interesting.
Making it clear that landlords can't just neglect serious issues and expect to get away with it.
Right.
Min Jet really paved the way for holding landlords accountable.
So what's like one piece of advice you would give to renters based on the lessons of Min Jet?
Document everything.
Oh.
Whether it's a minor repair issue or a major problem like what Randolph and Kikuchi faced, keep detailed records.
Mm-hmm.
Take photos, save emails, note dates and times of conversations, anything that can serve as evidence if you need to take legal action.
It sounds like being organized and proactive can make a huge difference in protecting your rights as a tenant.
Absolutely. Min Jet serves as a powerful reminder that even in a complex legal landscape, individual stories and individual cases can bring about significant change.
Yeah.
Knowing your rights, being informed, and taking action can make a real difference, not just for yourself, but potentially for others facing similar situations.
Well, this has been an incredibly insightful look at Minjack v. Randolph and its lasting impact on tenant rights. It's a testament to the power of legal precedent and a reminder that we all deserve a safe and habitable place to call home. Thanks for diving into this case with me.
It was my pleasure.